To download more lectures, learn more about our project, and to help support it, visit www.bayinah.com/dream. That's BAYYINAH/dream. You are free to share these recordings with family and friends. Thank you and Jazakumullah khairan for helping us make our dream a reality.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويل للمطففين الذين إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون ألا يظن أولئك أنهم مبعوثون ليوم عظيم يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين كلا إن كتاب الفجار لفي سجين وما أدراك ما سجين كتاب مرقوم ويل يومئذ للمكذبين الذين يكذبون بيوم الدين وما يكذب به إلا كل معتد أثيم إذا تتلى عليه آياتنا قال أساطير الأولين كلا بل ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون ثم إنهم لصالوا الجحيم ثم يقال هذا الذي كنتم به تكذبون كلا إن كتاب الأبرار لفي عليين وما أدراك ما عليون كتاب مرقوم يشهده المقربون إن الأبرار لفي نعيم على الأرائك ينظرون تعرف في وجوههم نضرة النعيم يسقون من رحيق مختوم ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون ومزاجه من تسنيم عينا يشرب بها المقربون إن الذين أجرموا كانوا من الذين آمنوا يضحكون وإذا مروا بهم يتغامزون وإذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم انقلبوا فكهين وإذا رأوهم قالوا إن هؤلاء لضالون وما أرسلوا عليهم حافظين فاليوم الذين آمنوا من الكفار يضحكون على الأرائك ينظرون هل ثوب الكفار ما كانوا يفعلون
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر واللهم لا تجعلنا من المطففين آمين يا رب العالمين. This surah begins with a profound declaration against a certain kind of criminal. Inshallah ta'ala, as we discuss this surah, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, we have to first understand something about this word, and bi-idhnillah, by means of it, we will understand its connection to what is coming before it. And I forgot. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, so first of all, let's understand the word Mutaffifin. Waylul lil-Mutaffifin. The word Mutaffifin, it comes from Taffafa, Ta, Fa, and Fa. And it's a certain kind of person that is meant by mutaffif. It is a person who, essentially, when they're in business and they are trying to get, like they're getting a product from somebody, then they like to get a little more than they deserve. And when they have to give, they give a little less than they should. And this is done in two things, intangible and in intangible things. For example, in services, it could be you owe somebody hours of work. So you owe somebody 5 hours of work. You want to get away 4 hours and 58 minutes. You want to steal those two. Who'll notice? It's no big deal, right? Or you owe somebody 2 pounds of rice. So you'll put 1.99, 99% of the 2 pounds. You won't put the whole thing. Who's going to notice? Who's going to notice that little bit of a movement of the needle in the scale, right? This is a mutaffif who gets away with very, very little. So little that the customer who gets swindled can't even come back and say, hey, pay me up, pay up. Or they're going to feel bad asking about it, so they kind of easily get away with it, right? So it's not like they're stealing huge amounts of money or they're robbing banks or anything. But they're taking a little bit away from what is supposed to be taken, right? Little tiny imbalance. Now this connects to a lot of things we studied in the previous surah. First of all, Allah Azza wa Jal told us, كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ. In the previous surah we learned in Surah Al-Infitar, you lie against the deen. And we said deen is the exact portion. This is the idea of deserving an exact portion and giving the exact portion. And on the day of resurrection, we will be given the exact portion that we are due. The other thing we found in the previous surah, الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. He created you, He balanced you, He evened you out, and He gave you, not only did He balance you, it also means He programmed you with a sense of balance. Now look, the person who even cheats others, who cheats others in business, who cheats others in giving them the exact amount, when it comes to receiving, do they want the full amount themselves? They don't want to be cheated themselves. They want to get the full amount. So they understand a sense of balance. They wouldn't wish that one of their family members would be cheated in business. They wouldn't wish that their wife or their daughter or their son or their brother, etc., etc., they would get less than they deserve. But when it comes to their own customer, they give less than they deserve. You see? So even they, with deep within themselves, they have a sense of balance. It is because of that sense of balance they feel entitled to certain things. So this is a mutaffif. And it contradicts the things that Allah Azza wa Jal speaks of before. The other thing that's really interesting and remarkable here, one thing I didn't comment about at the end of the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلَّهِ. There's taqdeem and ta'khir here. وَالْأَمْرُ لِلَّهِ يَوْمَ إِذٍ, normally we would say in Arabic, وَالْأَمْرُ لِلَّهِ يَوْمَ إِذٍ, that the decision will belong to Allah on that day. But Allah Azza wa Jal moves the sequence of the sentence around. He says, وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ. That's how the surah ends. Which implies it is on that day that the decision will belong exclusively to Allah. It is on that day that the decision will exclusively belong to Allah. The verbiage and the way Allah says that implies that in this dunya we have some decisions that we need to make ourselves. On that day we will not be able to make any decisions. But here Allah has given us some choice. Until that day comes, you have to make some decisions. Which is why Allah says, وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. All matters, all decisions are returned back to Him. The believers are commanded to enforce the good. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهُونَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. This is some amr that we have in this. Also, when Allah speaks about the kuffar, He says, أَمْ أَمْرَمُوا أَمْرًا. Have they made up their mind about this matter of staying as disbelievers? So in this dunya, we have some control over affairs. Allah has given us some license in our affairs. In the previous surah, Allah says, on that day, the license, the control, the decision-making ability will be exclusively to Allah. And in this surah, in the beginning, we find the kinds of decisions people make when they have the freedom to make decisions. They do tatfif al-mizan. They give a little less than they're supposed to. So it begins with the words wail. Wail is an Arabic word for either cursing somebody to give, you know, curse on them that may destruction fall upon them. May they become sick. May they become diseased. May they become, you know, may they be destroyed. It's an ugly kind of word. And it's a word used for someone that's completely been ruined. When they have a loss of words, they don't know what else to say. They say, ya wayla, you know, waylata, okay? Or ya waylana even. Destruction has fallen upon ourselves. Here, waylun lil mutaffifin, ultimate destruction, horrible destruction, is for those who engage in this kind of tatfif. Those who just scale back a little bit, they take just a little bit away without the customer or the one they owe to noticing. Now this, again, notice it's in two things. It's giving more, or it's giving, taking more than you should, and giving less than you should. These are both things that include, that are included in the word mutaffif. Okay? This is a person who does both of these crimes. If you go further, then you find something really interesting. Allah Azza wa Jalla continues to explain what they do. Even though the word mutaffif includes the full definition, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives a full explanation of what makes them a mutaffif. But before we go forward, just a couple of things about this term again. We find this in a sahih hadith mentioned in the Bukhari. وَلَا طَفَّفُ الْكَيْلِ إِلَّا مُنِعُ النَّبَاتُ وَأُخِذُوا بِالسِّنِينَ It's a powerful hadith. They did not do cheat a little bit in business, طَفَّفُ الْكَيْلِ, in giving the weight. They only gave a little, took a little bit away, or gave a little bit, you know, less than they should have, right? These people did not do so except two things happened. The crop stopped growing. The produce in the land stopped growing. And the other thing that happened was they were seized by means of drought. Water stopped coming. Meaning the nation started feeling, you know, catastrophic natural problems, you know. We call them attacks of nature, or Mother Nature is mad at us. There's no Mother Nature. These are punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a nation that does tatfif. And this is, if you look at the hadith, the Bab al-Uqubat, right, the chapter of the consequences or the punishments of Allah in this dunya for corruption of the people. Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about this in Surah Al-Rum. He says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ That corruption manifested in the land and in the ocean because of what people earned with their own hands. So this little bit of cheating in business, and what does Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inform us of? The rain stops coming, drought comes, produce doesn't get produced, you know, the honeybees disappear. Right? These kinds of things start happening when people cheat a little bit in their business. So one wonders, what does Wall Street have to do with the farm out in, you know, out in the deep south? They're connected. This is one problem for one nation. When they do this, the other calamities come into play, subhanAllah. Some of the ulama, like a Sabuni, comment, At-tankir li-tahweel wa-tafkheem. This is very important. You know, in the beginning we say, waylun, there's a tanween on it. We don't say al-waylu, right? Waylun here means, it's one purpose of it is to horrify. Horrible destruction is for these people. Horrible destruction is for these people. And to magnify that this is not any small destruction. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ The next ayah. These mutaffifin, these people who cheat just a little in business, how do they cheat? When they receive weight from people, you know, they go to the grocery store and they're going to get, you know, 2 pounds of rice or 10 pounds of wheat or whatever. They're going to get the full amount they can get. اِكْتَالَ. اِكْتَالَ, to receive weight from someone, to receive the product based on a certain weight. But the thing here, in Arabic, when we say اِكْتَالَ, we say اِكْتَالَ مِن. We don't say اِكْتَالَ عَلَى. This is the norm. In the Arabic, we say, he received weight from this person, not against this person. The way it's used here is against. This ala is really, really important. It has many rhetorical functions. Under normal circumstances, you go to the store, you put the whatever product it is, you put it on the scale, it weighs out, and then you pay the person. This is a normal transaction. But iqtala ala nas, this actually means tasallut, number one. You go to the guy you're buying from, and you're bullying him. No, I want more. No, you didn't weigh it correctly. You're muscling him to give you more. Even though he weighed it correctly, you say, no, you didn't weigh it correctly. Give me more. This is ala an-nas. This person is getting more than they deserve, actually. And they're bullying themselves into getting more. So we find what's said, فِي الْأَصْلِ يُقَالِ اِكْتَالَ مِنْ وَلَا يُقَالِ اِكْتَالَ عَلَى وَقَدْ عَدَّى فَعْلِ اِكْتَالَ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَا بِحَرْفْ عَلَى للدلالة على التسلط لأن هؤلاء المطففين لم يكتالوا من الناس بل تسلطوا عليهم بالاكتيال. They push themselves on the people that they're trying to receive from. Now, if this was a normal transaction, we would have found الذين إذا اكتالوا من الناس. The word من would have been there. So this is not a normal behavior even in receiving. These are bullies even in getting the product. And you know, sometimes we do this. Nowadays we think, we don't weigh things anymore. I don't buy wheat and grain from the farm. And we don't have these problems anymore. You could do this on an 800 number. Right? You know, the people, they made a mistake or whatever, and you're yelling at them, no, I'm on 8 months of free service, and you're going to throw this into and that into, and you know you don't deserve it, but you're going to use your muscle because you learned to do this at your job, or you saw other people do it, so you want to get these free advantages thrown in, and you're going to get that guy fired who's on the other phone. The guy's just got a job picking up the number from the 800 line, right? And who's your manager? I want to talk to him about bad customer service. So you're muscling your way to get things. Right, and sometimes it's necessary, but other times you know you can ask your own conscience when you're doing it unfairly. Right, so iktala ala nas, alladhina idha iktalu ala nas yastawfun. This is just an awesome word that Allah depicts here. Subhanallah. You know, yutawaffawna. If the word was yutawaffawna, they are given in full. Whenever they take the measure, they are given in full whatever they wanted. But yastawfun, they try to get the full. And what this implies is not necessarily that they get the full. They have this attitude of, no, more, 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 more. So they're very, you know, shrewd kinds of customers. This ayah is not about being business people. This is being about the customer. They're getting more than they deserve. But the next ayah, وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. And when they have to weigh for others, and when they have to, you know, measure the product, give it specific weight for other people, يُخْسِرُونَ, they make sure that the other person leaves in loss. You know, khasira, to have loss, to be lost. Akhsara, to make somebody else lose out, to make somebody else miss out. Not give him what he deserves. I want to make sure I give him less than what he deserves. I want to make sure I get away with maybe 10%, 5%, 2%, 0.1%, but I will not feel complete until I cheat him out of at least something. At least I take something away from him that he was expecting from me. These are yukhsirun. They make sure that the other falls into loss. But the other thing here, again, beautiful in the language, normally in Arabic we would have found وَإِذَا كَالُوا لَهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوا لَهُمْ. There would have been a harf jar here. If they weighed for their customers, for them, or they belt, you know, they put it on the scale for them, the lam would have been here. The missing lam actually lets us know, it indicates also that this transaction is not tabi'i, it's not a natural transaction. They're cheating the people out of some product, just like the lam has been removed. The lamb is missing, just like the full product is missing. This is a rhetorical function of the language. Subhanallah. So, إِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. Now, these people, Allah is not just here talking about a business person. And He's not just talking about these shrewd people who get their way or muscle their way when dealing with others. Something else is going on here. You know, Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not reflect deeply on the Qur'an? The word tadabbur actually means also to look behind something. It comes from dubur, to look behind. What is behind this person's character? This person's acting this way, but what's the root cause? What is it? What makes him this way that he can cheat like this and deal with people in this way and not flinch? You know, when you deal with a person who's normally not like this, they're not shrewd like this, when they muscle their way with somebody, they feel uncomfortable. Many of you may be like that. If you have to haggle a price, you feel kind of not normal. And you know, you bring your cousin in to haggle the prices, right? You can't do it yourself, because you don't have that kind of personality, but he does. He can get you, like, he'll throw in a few extras in there, right, when he's dealing. Or when your customer is, you know, waiting for the product, you don't know how to talk to them. You just know how to do the job. You get somebody who's a little more shrewd, who can yell and scream on the phone. They could do it for you. But what kind of person does this? What kind of person develops this attitude? The next ayah lets us know. أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُثُونَ. Have those people that do this, أُولَٰئِكَ, by distancing themselves, Allah has distanced Himself from these people. Allah doesn't even talk to them. He talks about them as those people. Not even whom, ulaik, oh, way far out. Those people, have they never even fathomed? Has it never even crossed their imagination that they're going to be raised? That they're going to be raised? Now, what does that have to do with, you know, business? You see, these people, the first time they cheat in business, they're a little bit nervous. The first time they do it, I'm not so sure. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe they're filing taxes incorrectly as an accountant for somebody, and they're kind of nervous when they file the papers. The second time they do it, they're a little less nervous when they get away. And over time, they become experts at beating the system, right? They get around the law, and they know exactly what to do. Not only do they know what to do, they can teach others how to beat the system too. So they become very confident. And their confidence comes from the fact that they will never have to stand before the law. They've already learned how to beat the system. That's where their confidence comes from. They become very, you know, outgoing even. They become proud of their illegal behavior when they don't get caught for a long time, because they figure at this point they're above the system. They can get away. And you know, a lot of criminals in our time, they get caught after they feel like they're above the law, and they get a little careless, and then they get, you know, under the radar, they come and they get caught. So now Allah says the idea that they are going to be raised, of course, raised before Allah, right? Brought back to life and made to stand before Allah. This has never even crossed their mind. Dhan, assumption. Even that assumption hasn't crossed their mind. And this word, ba'atha, is a portion of the word we learned in the previous surah. When we learned, وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ, ba'atha and athara together make bu'thirat. So a portion of the word from the previous surah is used to illustrate even a little bit of that thought doesn't even occur to them. This idea that they have to stand for what they did, they've completely blocked their minds from it. They've completely blocked their minds from it. لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, they will be raised for an enormous day. Now, something about the word عَظِيمٍ that I may or may not have shared with you before. عَظِيمٍ commonly gets translated as great. But it comes from the Arabic word عَظَم, or the plural عِظَام, which is the plural of عَظِيمٍ and عَظَم. عَظَم means a bone. You know, a bone is called عَظَم because it's tough, it's stiff, it's difficult to break, right? The animal's bone hits you, then you get injured. If it doesn't, if some other part hits you, you might be all right. So now, azam, that's from which the word greatness comes. So it's not just great, it's tough, it's intense. It's, you know, coming into contact with it will cause you pain. This is azim. This is tough, you know, intense day. So they don't realize that this tough day is coming against them. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. In the previous surah, by the way, before we go on, Allah says, don't they have any fathom that they're going to have a great day where they have to stand? Did Allah tell us anything about that great day in the previous surah? إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. When the sky, you know, it's ripped open and the stars are falling apart. They're like a sheet that had pearls on it, and you give a little bit of a jerk to the sheet and they all fall apart. Right? And the oceans are going wild and the graves are being turned over and whatever their contents are being brought out. The greatness of that day has already been illustrated. But despite hearing this message, it's like, yeah, hasn't even crossed their mind. So, لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, it's been given a separate ayah to think that even after hearing about that great day that Allah called النَّبَأُ الْعَظِيمِ in Surah An-Naba, still after hearing these powerful ayat, nothing. Nothing processes. And as we continue in this surah, we will see why nothing registers in their mind. Why is it that they hear this powerful message, but there's no effect? يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. In the previous surah, we learned, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Every person will know what they invested in, what they sent forward, what opportunities they left behind. We talked about that at length last time. Here, another depiction, another wording of the same scene. The day on which people will stand before the Lord of all of the worlds. And alameen is for dhawil uqul, the people of intellect. Meaning all of the nations, all of the peoples, their Lord. In other words, the Lord of the criminals, the cheaters, and their customers. The criminals and their client base. And whoever they were the clients of. All of them will be standing together. So they're not going to get away with even the smallest amount of cheating. Kalla, not at all. Meaning, this attitude is not going to save them at all. This is kalla. Kalla is this, the idea that they are not going to be raised. They think, because they have this idea and they've become very confident about the way they behave in this world, this in itself is enough for them to be saved. You know, one of the flaws of human beings, when they sin, they have no bounds in sin. One of the things that happens to them is they block the idea of consequence. And just because you blocked it, does it mean there's no danger there? No, that's not enough. Pretending there's no danger is not enough that there's no danger. So Allah says, kalla, no, not at all. This assumption alone is not enough to save you. You could feel safe all you want. You could feel safe all you want, but the danger still remains. He says, inna kitab al-fujjari lafi sijjin. This is absolutely remarkable. To understand this in proper context, let's look at something we read in the previous surah. You noticed in these surahs that we've been studying, there has been mention of angels in one way or the other in every surah, right? And they complement each other. In the previous surah, we learned about the angels that are here. إِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. These guarding angels are here. They're noble, so they're not going to cheat in what they write. They're going to be noble. They're going to show their nobility in documentation. And they're constantly writing, كاتبين. And what are they writing? يعلمون ما تفعلون. They know what you're up to. They know everything that you're doing. And they're continuously documenting. So the documentation part of it was highlighted in the previous. Documentation of what? Whatever we do. Everything that we do. But there's another part. And this is so much easier for me to explain and understand even because I come from a tech background. You know, there's the data entry. Right, you're entering the data. And you have to get a reliable person to enter the data. Because if they make mistakes, then you know, the email that you send or the fax that you send or the contract that you send, if it has mistakes, then you're going to have problems. So first of all, who's entering the data of our deeds? The angels. They're entering the data. So there's any room for mistake? No. But then there's another problem. In business and in transactions and in worldly affairs, not only do you have to get reliable people to document, you also have to save your documents. You know the idea of backup servers nowadays, right? And make sure that your data is saved and all the registers and the accounts and the names and contacts of your customers and what date, what product has to ship and everything has to be saved. And if your data is gone, that's far worse than your money being gone because this is everything. So the previous surah illustrated the recording of the information. But this surah is going to tell us how that recording is saved. Where is it archived? And you know, if the archive is not safe, then what's the point of even having reliable data entry? You understand? So now look. كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْفُجَّارِ No, there's no doubt. The book of the vicious criminals. Al-Fujjar, this is from Fajr. Like Fajr rips through the night. That's Fajr, right? A Fajr is someone who disobeys Allah in the most vicious way. They don't feel bad about it, they're proud of it. And they do the worst, most heinous kinds of crimes. And of course they do it because what you gonna do about it? They have this attitude of, you know, who saw me do it? Who's gonna come and attack me about it? Who's gonna come back to haunt me about it? What's gonna come back to haunt me about this? So this attitude, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, you could be a Fajr, but everything you do has been documented and it's been actually turned into a Kitab al-Fujjar, a book of these vicious criminals. This is like a register, a roster. And the way that some ulama comment about this is, you know, in the olden days, there used to be dungeons, right, underneath. And these were the prisons for the criminals. And before you enter into the cells themselves, there's the gatekeeper. And there's this office almost. And the office has a roster of people that are inside. And it tells them, okay, this guy is in for this many years, and he has to be in this cell, and these are the punishments written for him, and this is when he has to go in, this is when he has to come out, etc., etc. This is this whole roster of the criminals. Where is this roster kept? It's kept right outside the prison. So if somebody says, my time is up, I gotta go, where does the warden, where does he check? He checks inside that roster. That's the image that some of the salaf give of this book. Some of them commented, this is in the depths of the earth, where the souls of the criminals are kept. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. But we know that it's kept, this roster is that of the criminals and all of the things that they have done. So the sinful soul, when it leaves this earth, and you know, it goes to this roster and we find what are the crimes that it has committed. And now where is this roster? لَفِي سِجِّينَ. There is no doubt about it, it is in its as-sijjin. Now sijjin in Arabic means prison. Sijjin, horrible prison. And some have argued that this is actually a particular name of this location. But because of its origin, we know the nature of that location is like a prison. And this is like the warden's documents of this prison, who is going to be inside and what punishments they have to suffer. Just so you understand the intricacy of this roster, this Kitab al-Fujjar, what's inside it. We find a little bit of detail about it here and there in the Quran. Like for example, in Surah Al-Kahf we find, مَالِ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What's wrong with this book? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. It didn't leave out anything small, anything big, except that it recorded it. There's not a small thing I did. There's not 1 ounce of cheating. There's not 1 pound of flesh. There's not 1 minute of leaving work early or whatever it was. Nothing has been left out. Everything has been thoroughly documented. So لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سِجِّينَ. You know, in the previous surah we found, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينَ. What is going to give you a clue what the day of judgment, what the day of decision making is, what the day is when everybody gets their portion? Somebody who has at least some sense of justice will be shaken by those words. But far worse, now you're talking to the criminal. You know, the day of judgment, everybody will be worried. But then the worst criminal, you have to tell him, you know, not just about the court, you know what you scare him of? You scare him of the prison. So the previous surah was like, do you know what that court is going to be like? When you have to stand trial and the judge will be there and the evidence will be presented? It was like that scene. But the worst, if the criminal is not scared of court, what's going to scare them beyond the court? It's the prison itself. So ma adraka ma sijjin. You have any clue what this prison is? What this sijjin is, where this record is kept? Allah says, kitabun marqum, subhanallah. This is again the protection of the data. Allah says it is documented, it is a writ, it's something that is presented in writing, kitab. And we know how it was written, who was writing it. In the previous surah, kiraman, katibin, they were writing it. So they've actually documented the whole thing. But then Allah gives it an adjective. He says, marqum. Marqum in Arabic means to write something in thick, clear writing. And to imprint it so it cannot be erased. This is also done when you stitch, you know, embroidery onto clothes. You can't rub it and wash it off. It's done. It's on there. Right? So that's also called raqam actually. Marqum here implies that not only will this data be entered accurately, it will be clear and it's not something that can be erased. It can't be erased. It's you know, protected data. So we find, for example, a Sabuni commenting, maktubun karraqm fi thawb la yunsa wa la yumha. Right? He says it's imprinted, it's written, just like stitching or embroidery on cloth, it will not be forgotten, it will not be erased. This is the nature of, you know, the word kitabu marqum. Meaning you think you forgot what you did. Everybody forgot, no big deal, nobody took me to court for it. Nobody held it against me. You're making a big deal out of nothing. Well, you can think it's nothing all you want. Kitabun marqum. It's there. It's the data has been sent. And you know that it's been sent. So you could feel good about it. You can make others feel good about it. But that doesn't take away that it's been documented. Subhanallah. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Ultimate destruction on that day for those who lie. And you'll find three ayat about lying. الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. Three times. المكذبين, يكذبون, يكذب. Three times over. So the root cause of the people who cheat in business, that was how it began. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. But here Allah says, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Ultimate destruction, the most horrible destruction, especially on that day, will fall upon those who deliberately lied against. Abu Allah did not say what they lied against. He didn't put the object in front of it. So when you say, I lied against, that's not a complete sentence. You're expecting, what did you lie against? Now if you say, I lied, that's enough of a sentence. That's enough, right? But it's actually intransitive. In grammar, we call it intransitive. Like you say, I walked. It's a complete sentence. I lied. It's a complete sentence. But when I say, I lied against, then the listener is expecting, well, who did you lie against? What did you lie about? What was your crime of lying for? So now the next ayah, it opens the door to this. الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Those who lied against the day of judgment. In the previous surah, we found without the word yawm. كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ. You're lying against the deen itself. You don't like the idea of judgment. You don't like the idea of someone, you know, holding you accountable for the things you've done. But in reality, you've been reminded of this enormous day over and over and over again. How many times have we heard the reminder in these few weeks about the akhirah? What's the core problem? Why, you know, what Allah repeats the most is what is denied the most. When Allah repeats taqwa more than anything else in the Quran, it's because what people lose the most is what? It's taqwa. When Allah repeats the reminder of the hereafter in one way, then another way, then another way, the oceans will boil over, then the oceans will go wild, then the mountains will be like carded wool, then the mountains are going to sail. He says the same thing over and over and over again. Why? Because this is the thing people tend to overlook and not concern themselves. No, this is, yeah, I don't want to hear about the akhirah, I already believe in the akhirah, thanks. Can we go to another chapter? Can we talk about something else? It is this that hasn't been imprinted into your mind, into your heart. That is the reason of this tatfif al-mizan. This is the reason. So Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُكَذِّبُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Those who lie against the day of, literally of judgment, of the due portion being given. Then he gives a further explanation. وَمَا يُكَذِّبُ بِهِ. And there's no one at all in existence who would lie against that. Except a certain kind of person. إِلَّا كُلُّ مُعْتَدٍ أَثِيمٍ. So this is where we have to pay attention. What kind of a person is not able to internalize the awesome reality of the Day of Judgment? What kind of person is it? Two adjectives have been given. Mu'tadin, athim. We have to understand both of these terms. I'tada in the Arabic language. It means to violate somebody else's rights or to cross the limits. So you wrong somebody, then you have become a mu'tad. You've become a mu'tad. When you wrong somebody, like we said, the first time, maybe you feel bad. The second time, it's a little easier for you. The third, fourth, fifth, sixth, it's second nature. Then not only is it easy for you, you're proud of it on top of that. And you find worse ways of becoming a mu'tad, of wronging the people. This is how, you know, tyrants are created on this earth, whether they rule countries or they rule, or they're in charge of a household, or they run a business, or they have employees, or they're a sibling, or they're a bully. In any way, shape, or form, this is a mu'tad, the one who crosses the limits. Then we find the word athim, which comes from ithm. Ithm in its original form means, you know, it's commonly translated as sin, but the Quran has about a dozen words used for sin. So it's very particular what ithm means. Ithm is a kind of, you know, attitude and a behavior that keeps you from doing good things. So on the one hand, the mu'tad is a guy that's doing bad things. And athim makes him a guy that keeps him from doing good things. You know, there's a kind of person that does bad things and also does good things, right? They're messed up in this, but at least they do that much, right? Some other good. But he is mu'tad on one hand and athim on the other. He's the worst of the worst. These are the worst of the worst that can absolutely deny, without the blink of an eye, deny the existence of judgment. They will hear these words and they will laugh at them. Nothing will go on in their, you won't see a bulge on their forehead. Why not? Because they've attained these two attributes over time. They've become mu'tad on the one hand, athim on the other. The Ahlul Lugha, the people of language, they comment that ithm is primarily an issue of the heart. It's a psychological thing. That your heart doesn't feel inclined at all, actually becomes uncomfortable in doing anything good. Which is why we find in the Quran, فَإِنَّهُ آثِمٌ قَلْبُهُ, that his heart has become athim. His heart has become one that deters doing good. It's become sinful in that sense. We find a beautiful hadith in this connection about ithm. الْبِرُّ مَطْمَأَنَّتْ إِلَيْهِ النَّفْسِ وَالْإِثْمُ مَا حَاكَ فِي صَدْرِكَ. I found this hadith in Anwar al-Bayan fi Halli Lughat al-Quran, which is a book on the grammatical analysis of the Quran. The Rasulullah says, righteousness or goodness is what will satisfy your nafs. It'll give you tranquility. اِطْمَأَنَّتْ بِهِ النَّفْسِ. And the sin, ithm, this holding back from good, is what will eat away at you. Meaning, it'll eat away at you in the beginning until you reach the point where you're no longer athim, but you are athim. You see the ya in the word athim? That means this guy is stuck in that state. It's not like he did it once or twice. This has become a personality trait for this person. Every chance he gets, he violates somebody else's rights. Every chance he gets, every opportunity he gets to do good, he pushes it away. This is actually the worst case scenario of بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ. You know, in the previous surah we read, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Every person knows what they sent forward, what they left behind. The worst case scenario, everything he sends forward is an evil, is a violation of somebody's rights. And every good opportunity that comes to him to do something good with himself, he leaves it behind. He doesn't touch it. So this is actually the worst case scenario of the previous. Inshallah ta'ala, we go forward. Before we do, actually, a couple of things here. What we read in the previous surah has been mentioned in other places, this conscience of the human being, of him losing his natural predisposition towards doing good and not violating others' rights. In the beginning we find, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. No, the human being is in full view of himself. He knows what he's up to. He knows what he's doing. وَلَوَ الْقَامَ عَذِيرًا. Even if he makes lots of excuses, he presents all of them like, you know, I have this reason or that reason for doing whatever I'm doing. But now, so we've established that we're talking about these fujar, these worst kinds of sinners. Look at their response to the ayat of Quran. When these ayat come, they're talking to him about what he's doing. They're very direct. I mean, these ayat for us, you know, we could say these are a millennium and a half old. They were talking to the Arabs of that time. When you listen to their message, doesn't it rattle you? Man, this is happening at my office. This is what I'm doing at my business. I better tell my dad to stop. I better tell my uncle to not do this anymore. I've noticed when I was working for him that these things, tatfif al-mizan, was going on. You start thinking, these ayat come to life about what's happening here. But the one who has gone past this point of return, إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. When our ayat, when our miraculous signs are recited onto him, can, and tutla, not tuliyat even, tutla, over and over again, Over and over again, the ayat are recited on to him. What does he respond with? أساطير الأولين. First of all, tala. Understand something about the word tilawa, which is used here. It comes with two, it has مصدرين. تلوان وتلاوتان. Talwan means to follow someone, right behind them, like tailgating nowadays. Right? That would be tala yatlu. Also means to read. So it has two meanings, reading and following. So the ayat are read onto them, and literally the message follows them. Right? And they, whenever they hear it, asatirul awwaleen. They say, now what's their response? Let's understand something about the word asatir. It comes from three singulars. It has three singulars. Istar, asaytara, and astura. These are all acceptable singular forms of asatir. And it comes from the original word satr, which is lines. The connection here is, in the olden times, you had these legends of old times, like myth or mythology, right? Old stories. And somebody was really good at telling the story and the kids really enjoyed it, right? So they would write it down. They would put it in lines. And this is how the legend would be passed on. Everybody knew this has nothing to do with the truth. This is just something that's passed on through generations. So when he heard Quran, he said, these are legends of old times. These are stories. What angels on my shoulders, and you know, this nation was destroyed and that nation was destroyed, and I'm going to be raised back to life again. Come on. These are just stories. You know, grow up. So basically, their attitude is one of first of all, being condescending towards the ayat of Allah, and of literally calling, talking to the one who's giving these ayat, making them seem like fools. Come on, what are you talking about? This is what we say nowadays. What you would say, you know, 1400 years ago is asatirul awwaleen. What nonsense. What is this myth you keep bringing up? Asatirul awwaleen. So this is the first thing that makes him fajr. Really, the ultimate, the worst crime he's done so far is poke fun at the ayat of Allah. Somebody's a criminal, that's one thing. But they've reached that, you know, a state of being criminal to the point where you try to correct them with the best possible correction, the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their response is, get lost. This is nonsense. Asatirul awwaleen. Kalla. Then Allah explains, why did they reach this state? He keeps giving us reasons of why was tatfif? There was takdhib yawmiddin. There was lying against the day of resurrection. Now he lies against, he pokes fun at the ayat, criticizes them, insults the ayat of Quran. Why does he do this? Kalla, not at all. He's not doing this for genuine reason. What is it that happens in response? Barrana ala qulubihim. Rather, we place a rust on their hearts. Rana ala qulubihim. At-taba' wad-danas. The Lisan al-Arab Ibn Manzur says, it's an imprint and it's filth that covers the heart. This is rana ala qulubihim. We find Hassan radiallahu anhu saying, huwa dham ala dham hatta yaswad al-qalb. It is sin after sin after sin until the heart becomes completely black. We find a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. We find this in al-Bukhari, in which the Messenger says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سُئِلَ عَنْ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى كَلَّا بَرَّانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ. He was asked about this ayah. قال, he said, هُوَ الْعَبْدُ يَذْنِبْ الذَّنْبْ فَتُنْكَتُ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَ سَوْدَاءَ فَإِنْ تَابَ مِنْهَا سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ وَإِنْ عَادَ نُكِتَتْ أُخْرَى حَتَّى يَسْوَدَّ الْقَلْبُ. You know, this is a person who does a sin and their heart gets a spot on it, like a blemish on it, right? Which is what Dunas, the language scholars called it Dunas, a spot. And then if he repents and he goes back, then it's scrubbed off, it's washed off. Literally, it's made polished again, given a shine, the heart's given a shine, according to the wording of the hadith. But if he doesn't, if he continues, another spot and another spot and another spot until the entire heart becomes hard. Entire heart becomes black. Black with filth and rust. And this is the state that is described in the ayah. رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And why did what caused this filth on their heart? What is it that rusted over them? مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Whatever they used to earn is what made the rust occur on top of their hearts. Whatever these sins were. And have we learned in this surah already what they used to earn? Just a little tiny bit of profit. They weren't making millions necessarily. They were being cheap over a buck or two. They were being cheap over a minute or two. Or a day or two of service. Something small. But they want to get more than they deserve. And they want to give less than what people deserve of them. Subhanallah. كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون. By the way, before I go on, just something that ties this to the previous surah. You know, in the previous surah we read, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. Allah asked a very powerful question. Human being, what is it that deluded you? What took you away from your noble Lord, from your gracious Lord? Now we learn in this surah, what took him away? His stiff heart. This is the worst thing that can take you away from your noble Lord. So Allah asked the rhetorical question in the previous surah, and we have this scary response in this surah. رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. It is these people that especially when it comes to their Lord, they are going to be barricaded, they're going to be blocked off, meaning they won't be able to see their Lord on that day. On that day, especially their Lord, they will not be able to see, there'll be a hijab. You know the word hijab? A barrier. That which comes in between you and whatever you want to see, so that you can no longer see it. It's no longer in your sight. That's what hijab is, literally what hijab means. So here, when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, on that day, they will be permanently barricaded, you know, blocked off from the view of their Lord. The wording is interesting in that there's ikhtisas. Al Rabbihim is first. It is their Lord that they won't be able to see. It is their Lord that they'll be barricaded away from. And what that implies is there's something else that they will be looking at. And not only looking at, they can't stop looking at it. You remember in the previous surah, وَمَا هُمْ عَنْهَا بِغَائِبِينَ. They will not be able to steal even a glimpse away from that hellfire that is staring at them. They can't hide behind a beam and take a breath and say, okay, back to the punishment. No, not even a blink. They're stuck. Their eyes are stuck on that punishment. And here, they'll be staring at that, but what won't they even get a glimpse of? Their Lord. It's a contrast from what we found in the previous surah. وَمَا هُمْ عَنْهَا بِغَائِبِينَ. الشافعي رحمه الله said something very important in this ayah. وفي هذه الآية دليل على أن المؤمنين يرونه عز وجل. وقال مالك لما حجب أعداؤه لم يروه تجلى لأوليائه سبحان الله حتى يروه حتى رأوه. الشافعي رحمه الله comments, this ayah is a proof that the believers will in fact see their Lord. This ayah is a proof that the believers will in fact see their Lord. And then Malik rahimahullah, he commented, when Allah's enemies are barricaded away, when they're blocked off from seeing Him, then He will show His glory, His full glory to the believers until they get to see Him. SubhanAllah. So this ayah at the same time is a punishment on the kuffar and is a gift to the believers. ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ. Thereafter, and you know, you see all these horrible punishments, the worst of the punishments being described after the one crime. You know, Allah mentioned different crimes. But when did the discourse on the punishments begin? The worst of these punishments was the sealing off of the heart. Everything is a result of that. But what sealed the heart? What caused that curse to fall upon them? They poked fun at what? The ayat of Allah. They poked fun at the ayat. They made ridicule of the ayat. They called them asatir al-awwaleen. They had this arrogant attitude towards the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that resulted in this one after the other. First the heart gets rusty. Then they don't even get to see their Lord. Then on top of this, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ. Then they will be jumping into, casting themselves into the blazing flame. We talked about the original meanings of al-jahim before. يَصْلَوْنَهَا يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. In the previous surah, here, لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ يَصْلَوْنَهَا أَي فِي الْجَحِيمِ يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. They will be throwing themselves there again. But here the wording is stronger because صَالُ is ism fa'il. It's an ism. In the previous surah, we had yaslawna, which was a verb. And the verb is weaker than the noun. And since this context is stronger, the stronger word is used. لَصَالُ الْجَحِيمِ. This idafa is given to it instead of having a fi'il and a maf'ul bihi. But then just the wording of these ayat is so powerful, subhanAllah. ثُمَّ يُقَالُ. Then it will be said. Allah doesn't say, then Allah will say to them. He says, then it will be said. Now what's the difference between He said and it will be said? When I say it will be said, I didn't mention who's talking. This is called in Arabic, الفعل الذي لم يسمى فاعله, right? المبني على المجهول, the passive in English, the passive. Like when I say he was killed, I don't know who killed him, right? Why is that? Why did Allah say it will be said to them? Allah did not say Allah will say to them. Because in the previous ayat, has Allah not barricaded Himself from them? He's barricaded Himself, and now in this ayat, Allah is barricading His voice from them. He's not even talking to them directly. يُقَالُ, it will be said to them. SubhanAllah. يُقَالُ, هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. This is what you used to lie against. This is the very thing, هَذَا الَّذِي. This is the very thing that you had been lying against all along. This is what they're going to be told as they are jumping into the fire. This is what you were poking fun at, remember? This is what you found funny. This is when somebody reminded you of, you said, I don't need to hear this mythology. You remember that? This is what that is. They're being told over and over again, subhanAllah. ثُمَّ يُقَالْ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. You know, in the previous surah, there was still hope. This scene is not of dunya. This scene is of what? Akhirah. In the previous surah, there was a scene of dunya. كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ. No, no, you're lying against the deen right now in dunya. Change your ways. You've been doing this all along. No, there's guardian angels over here that are writing, not the guardian angels of the Christians. These guardians are guarding the things you do. They're archiving them. You know, حَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. Change your ways. But if you refuse to change your ways, if you're like these fujjar, the worst kinds of criminals, then the only thing left for you is the news. You can poke fun at it now. You're going to be thrown and you're going to be told, remember we said, don't do this? Remember the thing you were told not to lie against? هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal switches and he changes the scene and he takes us to the scene of the believers. And this, subhanAllah, is a contrast from the previous surah. In the previous surah we read, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Certainly the righteous are going to be surrounded or immersed in bliss, in ni'mah, in constant blessing. What that implies according to the imagery of Az-Zamakhshari, for example, even is, wherever they look, they'll see something that makes them happy. You know, you go to a new town or something, you're looking around, then you see this monument, you say, oh, look at that. Right? That's one thing that caught your attention. Not everything, one thing. But fi na'im. They're in it, and everything around them is something awesome. They look at that, somebody else is looking at that, and says, look at that. You know, the one next to you in Jannah says, hey, look at that. And you say, no, you look at that. And then you switch scenes, you're staring at the other thing. You're surrounded by amazing things. Lafi na'im. So here we find more detail about the righteous. In the previous surah, we found more detail about the criminals. So there we found, you know, وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ يَصْلَوْنَهَا يَوْمَ الدِّينِ وَمَا هُمْ عَنْهَا بِغَائِبِينَ. We found two ayat detailing what we get about the fujjar, the worst criminals. Here we find six ayat, three times the number of ayat, just dedicated to the people of Jannah, just dedicated to what's going to happen with them. But it begins with their record. The record of the criminals was where? You remember? That roster, that register in that prison, fi sijjin. But now look what's going to happen to the record of the believers. Kalla, not at all. You know, and this not at all is again in response to those who poke ridicule. They make fun of the believers because they talk about, you know, these amazing things that are going to happen, these fantasies that they live with, that they're going to be punished and this all of this is going to happen. Not at all. Inna kitab al-abrar lafi illiyin. The book of the righteous, and abrar again, jam'u qilla, right? This is the minimal plural because the righteous will be few. May Allah make us from them. Their record will be, their book is going to be in the illiyin. And illiyin has been interpreted in a number of ways. I'm going to share a few things with you. First, it comes from ulu, which means height. And illiyin has an ina at the end, and also in the next ayah, una at the end, which is called jam' mudhakkar salim, which is used, dhawil uqul, in the people, that the creatures that have intellect. What this implies is this book will be in the company of the highest. This book, one of the implications of that is, this book is in the company of the highest. And we know the higher the angels are, the more noble, the more responsible they are. You know, in regards to the Qur'an itself, we read about angels that are up there, right? بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَةٍ كِرَامٍ بَرَرَةٍ. We've read that already. But this is another set of angels that are high, and what are they protecting? They're not protecting Qur'an here. This is a different group. This is a different kind of angels. They are responsible to guard over the book of the righteous. The book that, according to the ulama, has two things. First of all, about the illiyin, let's see what As-Sabuni says, rahimahullah. وَهُوَ مَكَانٌ عَالٍ مُشَرَّفٍ فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ. This is a very high place. It is noble and honored and dignified in the highest part of Jannah. This is in the highest part of Jannah. That's the name of it. So that's one opinion, that it's from the highest place in Jannah. Others say it refers directly to the angels. Zamakhshiri says it could refer to both at the same time, angels and high stations. It is also, some ulama also comment, in addition to those two things, the book itself is called Illiyin. The book itself is called Illiyin, that this is its ism jamid. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So now, let's get an idea of this high Jannah where this record is. We find this interesting commentary, we'll come to it when the ayah comes actually. The soul of the believer, according to a great number of mufassirun, the soul of the believer is taken up all these levels of, you know, these heavens until they reach underneath the arsh. And underneath the arsh in the illiyin, they have this record. And this record states that these muqarrabin, these shuhada, for example, those who died in the path of Allah, their evil deeds, or their punishment, they're saved from it. It guarantees their punishment, they're safe. And it also guarantees their entrance into Jannah. But, and then they're brought back. So they see their record and they get a guarantee, yeah, we're headed in the right place. So they see the contract before they're brought back into their grave. We know the shuhada go straight into the paradise, but this is referring to al-muqarrabun. Those are really close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are shown this roster even before the day of judgment. So we'll look at how that applies in this surah. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ. What will give you any clue? What can you look at around you that could possibly help you imagine? Idrak, you know, or adra yudri, to look around for clues to figure something out. You have nothing at your disposal that can give you any clue what illiyun is, what this high place is, and how secure that record is, right? Yashhaduhul muqarrabun. These, the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be witness to them. Okay, 2 minutes, all right. All right, so let's just read a little bit of the tafsir that I made sure I wanted to read before you, inshallah, and we'll take a break. So, يَحْضُرُونَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ وَيَحْفَظُونَهُ لِأَنَّهُ يَحْمِلْ أَمَانًا لِصَاحِبِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَفَوْزِهِ بِالْجَنَّةِ. First of all, these angels are, Allah says they're witness, the closest of them, they're witnessing this عِلِّيِّينَ. They're witnessing this book, this document that has the deeds of the righteous. Basically, they're guarding it because it contains in them the security, the guarantee, the safe passage of these people that they will not be people of hellfire and that they will have success in the paradise. As-Sabuni comments, أي كتاب الأبرار كتاب المسطر. He says, this is the book of the righteous, a book that is well documented. مَكْتُوبٌ فِيهِ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. That in it all of their deeds have been documented and written. وَهُوَ فِي عِلِّيِّينَ. And it is in the عِلِّيِّينَ فِي أَعْلَى دَرَجَاتِ الْجَنَّةِ. It is in the highest levels of Jannah. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. That the closest of the angels are witnessing it. They're constantly looking at it. It's constantly under surveillance. Not by security cameras, but by the angels. SubhanAllah. And they're constantly watching over it. One of the comments that I found before we take a break, inshallah, in regards to this, the righteous person, the ruh of the righteous person, goes all the way up. Who's already witnessing this book? The angels. Then this righteous person gets there and they're shown their portion. This is your roster. This is the guarantee you're not going to hellfire. This is the guarantee you'll be entered into Jannah. Then he goes back. You know, when he rises up on the day of judgment, are there other witnesses that have read that with him? Are there other witnesses that can support that? Yes, in fact, that was there on record. The other angels. And what does that give him even before the day of judgment? Peace. He's at rest. That I have a guarantee with Allah. And I have those who are testifying to this. يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. The closest to Allah are bearing witness to this book. And then he is given the witness to it too. Some ulama comment, actually a good number of them, that the ruh of the mu'min gets to see it. And he is also included in المقربون. May Allah make us from المقربين. We take a break at this point. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.